This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, it is Monday. Glad to have you with me here today. The hotline number, 888-900-9966. From Marquette to Monroe and all points in between, the Michigan Talk Network carrying the Steve Gruber Show. We have some new affiliates to announce here in the next few days. We'll be sharing those with you as soon as they go hot. And then we've got a rollout coming a little bit later, I believe in April. So I appreciate the support. It's becoming a movement, my friends. It's becoming a movement. Now, let's cut through the nonsense and get to the facts of what's going on with this hysteria, the latest hissy fit over Donald Trump. What has he been in office? 9 days, maybe 10? How many hissy fits have you seen from the media, from Hollywood, from the left in general? I mean, you should have one of those little clickers you have. My father used to have them when he was fishing, a little clicker on his fly vest. Keep track of any fish he caught in a day, you know? I think he cheated once in a while, but that's a story for another day. But anyhow, he had a clicker. Maybe we should do that for hissy fits and panic attacks and flat-out hypocrisy and everything else you see. Unprecedented. A word being thrown around so recklessly these days by the media that just about anything involving Donald Trump is apparently unprecedented. And then I realized that most people out there consuming this garbage, and remember, garbage in, garbage out, the human mind is the same as a computer. If you fill it with garbage, what do you think is going to come back out of the mouth? Garbage. Anyhow, most people don't realize what the truth is. Most people have no actual working knowledge of American history or the truth. The latest misguided and reckless disregard for facts surfacing, of course, over Donald Trump's executive order to place a temporary ban, that's right, temporary ban on refugees coming from 7 countries, Iraq, Iran, Somalia, Yemen, Sudan, Syria, and Libya. Syria could be longer because they have bigger problems getting people vetted on that end. The media is screaming to anyone that will listen that Trump's move is unprecedented. Hollyweird and their get-together at the SAG event last night, you know, screaming that it's racist and bigoted and so on and so forth. But any cursory review of American history would show this is simply not true. In fact, Jimmy Carter, in 1979, after the American embassy in Tehran was overrun by radical Islamists, banned anyone from Iran and then expelled Iranian students by the thousands, threw them out of the country. They forgot to tell you that, though, didn't they? Because the left-wing activists, media commentators, and Hollywood elite, they believe that the world has come to an end, I think, 49 times was the last count. In just the last 9 days, the world has ended 49 times, according to the Hollywood elitists and so forth. But let's stick to the facts. That's what we'll do here. And the fact is, Donald Trump is doing exactly what he said he would do. He's doing exactly as he promised. It's just shocking, I realize. 62 million Americans voted for him. That's 57% of the Electoral College. It ran right through the middle of middle America in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Other states on board, Ohio and Indiana, Iowa, North Carolina, right through middle America. Those same Americans give him high marks for what he's doing. In fact, the Rasmussen survey, the latest polling numbers give Donald Trump a 57% approval rating. Now, people on the left say, well, that's it. That's a right-leaning poll, that Rasmussen. We can't trust them. It's also one of the polls, my friends, one of two polls that predicted Donald Trump was going to win on the 8th of November. So how far off is the Rasmussen report? Probably not too far. That's right. Rasmussen said that he would win in November. It says now that his approval ratings continue to grow. By the way, concerning other bans of people coming to this country, what about FDR? He banned, for the most part, all European refugees from the time he became president in 1933 March until the middle of 1944. Denied just about everybody. In fact, the St. Louis, a famous ship that was on its way here from Europe, loaded primarily with Jewish refugees, about 1,000, was able to dock briefly in Havana, but was rejected there. They only took a couple of dozen folks off. Then they came around the coast of America, could see the lights of Miami, begged for FDR to give them a chance to come because they said they would be slaughtered if they were returned to Europe. He didn't even return the message. He did not respond in any way. The ship, desperate for fuel and supplies, returned to Europe. The vast majority of those folks ended up back in mainland Europe, save for 288 that ended up in the UK. The rest went back to mainland Europe, many of which, as many as 300, died in the Holocaust, at Auschwitz, Dachau. And I'm not saying FDR was wrong. I'm just telling you that when the media screams unprecedented, they're not telling the truth, or they're not educated enough to know what the truth actually is, because they don't do their homework. Just yesterday, I was appearing on the BBC World News broadcast on television worldwide. So I was on the BBC World News, and the commentator got into an argument with me when I pointed out that Trump's executive order is merely enforcing the law that was signed by Barack Obama in December of 2015. She said, well, that's not true. It certainly is true. But even the producers at the BBC and elsewhere haven't done their homework enough to even know what this executive order originates from. She never did concede that she was wrong and I was right, but I am sure by now she may have figured it out because every other story on the planet has it accurately depicted now, though they didn't then. Meanwhile, overnight in Quebec City, Quebec, 6 people dead, 8 injured in a terrorist attack, as the police in Quebec are calling it, a terrorist attack on a mosque there. The 2 masked attackers using semi-automatic rifles gunning down those worshipping while yelling, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You do the math on it. So a terrorist attack in Quebec City. By the way, Justin Trudeau says he'll take, he's the new Prime Minister of Canada, he says he'll take whatever refugees may be turned around here in America, and he'll accept them in Canada. Good for him. As Bill Clinton said in 1995, ours is a nation of laws. Ours is a nation of, in fact, we've got that short clip, I believe. Let's hear Bill Clinton just talking about immigration and refugees and so on and so forth in general during the State of the Union address in 1995. Roll that.
We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Standing ovation at the State of the Union address. We must do more to stop the abuse of our immigration laws over the past many years. That was in 1995. I suppose that if a Democrat says it, they're a hero. If a Republican says it, they're a bigot and a xenophobe. Back in a moment on the Steve Gruber Show.
Covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber.
Welcome back to it. I'm glad you're sticking it out with me. We got the ratings in for the program, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate your support, and there is a lot of it. And apparently this brisk pace is going to continue for the next 4 years. I would assume that it is. So I want to get through a couple of things. I was really taken. I spoke of this last week, but Theresa May, I thought, was terrific. The Prime Minister of the UK, in her speech on Thursday to Republicans gathered in Philadelphia, I thought was spectacular. And then during a press conference a little bit later, Theresa May discussed the future of economic and defense cooperation with the United States. I like her attitude. I like what she has to say. I'd like to share just a bit of that with you today. It's clip 11. Theresa May, the new Iron Lady, if you will. Go.
On defense and security cooperation, we're united in our recognition of NATO as the bulwark of our collective defense. And today, we've reaffirmed our unshakable commitment to this alliance. Mr. President, I think you said you confirmed that you're 100% behind NATO. But we're also discussing the importance of NATO continuing to ensure it is as equipped to fight terrorism and cyber warfare as it is to fight more conventional forms of war. And I've agreed to continue my efforts to encourage my fellow European leaders to deliver on their commitments to spend 2% of their GDP on defence so that the burden is more fairly shared. It's only by investing properly in our defence that we can ensure we're properly equipped to face our shared challenges together. And finally, the President and I have mentioned future economic cooperation and trade. Trade between our two countries is already worth over £150 billion a year. The US is the single biggest source of inward investment to the UK, and together we've around $1 trillion invested in each other's economies. And the UK-US defence relationship is the broadest, deepest and most advanced of any two countries, sharing military hardware and expertise. And I think the President and I are ambitious to build on this relationship in order to grow our respective economies, provide the high-skilled, high-paid jobs of the future for working people across America and across the UK.
And there, I think it's refreshing, quite honestly, that we have somebody that is a conservative on the other side of the pond there, a conservative for the first time, a true conservative for the first time since Margaret Thatcher, that she is concerned with trade and relationships with the United States and the common defense and encouraging their other partners in NATO to spend the 2% of the GDP that is basically required by the pact that most of these nations have not honored and observed. So, Theresa May, I tip my hat to you and glad you were here and look forward to hearing more from you. I think it's an exciting new age and an exciting new day. And let's be honest, both Donald Trump and Theresa May need a good, solid friend in the world, and you could have none better. You could have none better than what we have between the UK and the US. So I'm encouraged by that. Also on the diplomatic front, it's a new day for the United Nations. For the United States. Now, of course, you realize that Donald Trump is no big fan of the United Nations. I'm not either. I believe that the United Nations has failed at its core mission. Its core mission is to end genocide and ethnic cleansing and warfare and slaughter. It has been a dismal failure at all of those things. Whether you look at Syria or you look backwards to things like Darfur and farther back to the killing fields of Cambodia. I feel the United Nations has failed at its core mission. Well, the United States has a new ambassador now to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, arriving for her first day of work at the UN, promising fresh eyes, new strength, and a new vision. It's clip 13. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, now the UN ambassador to the United Nations. Clip 13. Go. Clip 13.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So in South Carolina, we start off the day. It's great. You know, it's a thrill to be here at the UN. I will tell you that we have hit the ground running. There is a new US-UN. We talked to the staff yesterday, and you are going to see a change in the way we do business. It's no longer about working harder. It's about working smarter. And we have a fantastic team at the US-UN that's ready to prove that. Our goal with the administration is to show value at the UN. And the way that we'll show value is to show our strength, show our voice, have the backs of our allies, and make sure that our allies have our back as well. For those that don't have our back, we're taking names. We will make points to respond to that accordingly. But this is a time of strength. This is a time of action. This is a time of getting things done. And this administration is prepared and ready to go in, to have me go in, look at the UN, and everything that's working, we're going to make it better. Everything that's not working, we're going to try and fix. And anything that is seems to be obsolete and not necessary, we're going to do away with. But this is a time of fresh eyes, new strength, new vision, and a great day at the US-UN. Thank you very much.
And there you have it. Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, taking her new position as the United Nations ambassador from the United States. Looks like she's up for the job. Of course, she was criticized as well as being, you know, unfit and controversial and so on and so forth. Just like everything that Donald Trump does, according to the left. According to the left. In fact, like I said, if he says it's lunchtime, you know, they would complain if it was 5 minutes either side of noon. They would find a reason to complain if it was 5 minutes either side of noon. All right. By now, you've probably heard of us talking about CRTV here on the program. CRTV just launched an all-digital conservative media network that you need to know about. It features exclusive commercial-free TV shows from heavyweight conservatives like Mark Levin, Michelle Malkin, Mark Stein, and Steven Crowder, to just name a few. Right now, you can get a full year of CRTV for less than $9 a month. Watch every CRTV show on demand on any of your favorite devices. To sign up right now, go to crtv.com/Gruber. It's all one word. Again, that's crtv.com/Gruber. Get on board and, well, tell them Steve sent you. Take a quick break here on this Monday. You are listening, of course, to The Steve Gruber Show.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
It's 33 after on this Monday. It's a lot to keep up with. I could only imagine working in the Trump White House. All the things you have to do, because it seems to me two or three or four things every day. And, of course, everything is controversial. When he calls for lunch, it's controversial, apparently, to those on the left in the media, the commentators, the Hollywood elite, the activists. It doesn't seem to matter much what happens. It's controversial. My next guest, Dr. Tom Coburn, former senator from the state of Oklahoma, an outspoken conservative. Senator, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Steve.
Glad to have you here. First of all, what is your take on this whole ordeal over the temporary ban of allowing folks in from seven countries? Of course, for people that do know, it was a law signed in 2015 by Barack Obama, now being enforced by President Trump. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's absolutely the right thing to do. I think probably some of the preparation before it happened, they needed to anticipate where the backups would be. But I don't. That's a learning mistake that I'm sure they've known. But it's absolutely enforcing the rule of law is one of the things that's tearing our country apart. That the fact that we're not enforcing it. And so I think enforcing the law, if you don't like the law, Congress should change it. But you shouldn't go after an administration who's sworn to uphold the law.
Well, we are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws, as you aptly put it, Senator, and I appreciate that point of view. It seems, though, it doesn't matter what this president does. It's controversial. And now you've probably read and seen, as we have, that the Democrats, those on the other side, are going to use a scorched earth policy. They're not going to work with President Trump on anything they say. How's that going to work?
Oh, it's not going to work well because, for example, the swing states or the purple states and blue states that went red, all he's going to do is tweak against the individual congressmen and senators and say, you know, you all wanted this to happen. Why don't you contact them? You know, he's a master at putting you in a box with his tweets, and I think it's probably a pretty dangerous policy for him. And I think, the thing is we need decisions made that are in the best interest of our long-term country, not the best interest of a political party or a politician. And, I think it's going to be really fun and interesting to watch what happens the next 6 months in Washington, because it's going to get turned upside down. And you can't play games with Trump. You're either with him or against him, and if you're against him, he's going to make you pay the price for being against him. If, in fact, your state, if you look at states, they want a lot of these things.
Well, they did. And I would guess that Oklahoma would stay red until the earth finally freezes over again. But in places like Michigan, where I am, the closest margin of all 10,000 votes, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, the key to his victory, I would suggest that if the election were held today, based on what he's done thus far, he would win by a wider margin.
I would agree with that. But remember, most people don't realize there's more Democrats in Oklahoma than there are Republicans. And what they are is old conservative Southern Democrats that just have never switched their party. They still believe in the principles of the Constitution and the separation of powers. And, the foundational principles are important to the people of Oklahoma. And then we have a group of about 25% that are hard left.
All right, well, let's talk about something else that is going to get a lot of attention. A Supreme Court nominee is probably going to get picked as early as today. That'll get a lot of attention, but so will where we are as far as national debt goes. $20 trillion, give or take a few billion. What's a few billion among friends, right, Senator? And Senator Tom Coburn with us right now. But if we don't get our debt under control and get things prioritized in Washington, the future does not look bright. And in fact, the CBO's own projections show unsustainable fiscal situations going forward in America. What are we to do?
Well, first of all, you start making the hard decisions that you need to make. And it's not just the debt, the $20 trillion. We have $144 trillion of unfunded liabilities that over the next 75 years, the millennials will owe $1.7 million apiece on that. Their net worth right now is a minus $7,000. So it's not only that we will collapse financially, it's that you've robbed the standard of living from the people 35 and younger.
So how do we correct that? I mean,
the way you correct it is to take the money out of Washington and rebalance the three branches of government, rebalance the relationship between the states and the federal government, and then cut the $400 billion a year in waste, fraud, and duplication that everybody knows is there, but they don't want to vote for it because all that waste, fraud, and duplication has a constituency.
Well, that's right, because it goes back to the different congressional districts in the form of, well, pork spending promises and so forth. They're buying votes with it.
Sure. Let me give you an example. Job training programs, they reformed it. They saved about $100 million. But we spend $12.8 billion a year on 64 different federal job training programs.
And how many jobs do we get out of that, do you think?
Well, not many. Because what they've done is that if you look at where those job training programs place their people, it's in fast food restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, we're not training them to be a heat and air conditioning mechanic or a plumber or electrician or a machinist. What we're doing is training them on something that they really don't need much training for.
No, we're telling them. We're telling all these
federal dollars to get reimbursed for that.
And the other problem I think that we have here, Senator, that doesn't get near enough attention, we're telling every kid, everybody's got to go to college. Everybody has to go. Well, that's not true. You need plumbers and carpenters and machinists and a host of other things in this world. Everybody doesn't need to go to college to be, you know, a big success in this world.
Fine. I agree with you.
So, all right. So what do you think should be the first? The president wants to cut taxes. He wants to do $1 trillion in infrastructure spending. He wants to reinforce the military. All of these things cost money. How do we get our debt under control if we do that list of things?
Well, it's easy. It's not hard. Is you have $400 billion that's fully documented by the Congressional Budget Office and the General Accounting Office. $100 billion of that's just fraud, Medicare and Medicaid. There's another $30 billion in other tax programs that are fraudulent that haven't been worked by the IRS. You have all this duplication, which counts for another $100 billion. If you just eliminate 90% of the duplication, you'd have $100 billion a year to spend on an infrastructure program. So if you eliminate the fraud, if you eliminate the stupidity, and you eliminate the duplication, you'll have $300, $325 billion a year to spend. Well, $100 billion of that could go to a tax cut for those that most need it. $100 billion could go to enhanced infrastructure. And $100 billion could go to the military. This isn't hard. It's only hard because you got politicians making decisions that are what's best for their career versus what's best for the country. And their career wins most of the time.
Yeah, because what's best for their career is bringing these park projects back to their district and spending money in their district, whether it creates any real long-term benefit or not. That's what we get out of this. All right, so I'll give you the last word, Senator. I'll give you 30 seconds to tell me where we are today, what do you think about what's happening, and where we go next?
Well, where we go next, let me answer that first. The way to fix this, our founders gave us a way to restore the balance between the federal government and the states and restore the balance between the judiciary, executive, and legislative branch. And that's called an Article 5 Convention of States. You can read about it on conventionofstates.com. That's how you actually fix it. And the founders trusted the states and their representatives in their legislature to keep a balance, keep a watchful eye on what was supposed to be a very limited federal government. So that's how you fix it. Number two is you create transparency all across the board, and that's starting to happen with a website called OpenTheBooks.com.
OpenTheBooks.com, Senator. We'll need to leave it right there, Senator. We're up against a heartbreak. OpenTheBooks.com, but love to have you back, Senator. Great conversation. I feel like we just got started.
All right, man.
There it is. OpenTheBooks.com.
Covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber.
What a ride it has been so far. can't wait to see what this week brings. Our next guest, not available all of a sudden. Boris Epstein was supposed to be here, a spokesman for the Trump administration, but apparently, we just got a call from his handler, said he's been called into an emergency meeting. He is at the White House currently. We hope to reschedule him for tomorrow. Boris Epstein been on here, this program, many, many times. So he was called, summoned to the White House. I'm going to guess probably about this ongoing conversation about refugees and so forth. But let's go over a few facts. The two biggest executive orders signed so far, I would say without question, are the temporary ban on refugees from seven countries signed over the weekend. And then, of course, before that, the executive order on building the wall on the southern border with Mexico to move forward with that. And again, that's also a previously existing law signed in 2006, by the way, by President George W. Bush. But then it was never funded by Congress because the Democrats took over in 2007 and the funding never arrived. So here are two things that Donald Trump has done as president of the United States that were merely enforcing existing laws on the books. I mean, let's be honest about the things, fun facts that journalists know but don't seem to want to report. Number one, that Donald Trump did not create these laws. His executive orders carried out existing law. Concerning the immigration, the refugee order, the text of Trump's executive order on immigration doesn't list the particular countries. That formula was in the existing law that his order is carrying out. All right, the law Trump is carrying out is the Visa Waiver Program Improvement and Terrorist Travel Prevention Act, signed into law by President Barack Obama December 18th, 2015. It was part of an omnibus bill spending package signed by Barack Obama December the 18th, 2015. It's not something that Donald Trump made up over the weekend. He is merely enforcing the law as it has been put forth. And Donald Trump is doing exactly as he promised he would, and that's the shock for the media. You have a politician here that is doing, in very short order, exactly what he said he would do. 62 million Americans voted for Donald Trump. 57% of the Electoral College went to Donald Trump. Donald Trump's approval ratings also 57% now, according to Rasmussen's latest poll. And those on the left say, well, Rasmussen, it's not a credible poll. It's a right-leaning poll. Yeah, it's also a poll, my friends, that said Donald Trump was going to win the election and defeat Hillary Clinton. So before you dismiss the Rasmussen poll out of hand, you might want to take into effect that he said that Donald Trump was going to win one of two polls, the IBD tip poll and the Rasmussen poll. And of course, yours truly told you that Donald Trump was going to win by going through Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. But they don't want to talk about that. They want nothing to do with that. And then you go down to the southern border. The southern border has been a point of contention for many years. In fact, Ronald Reagan made a deal and gave amnesty to 3 million people here illegally from south of the border back in the 1980s. And at the time, he was promised that a wall would be built at that time. Of course, the Democrats never held up their end of the deal, never funded it, never put it together. So then years later, in 2005, it was renegotiated. And in 2006, George W. Bush put together a deal to have the wall built. In came the new Congress in 2007. They never funded it. They refused to get it done. So all Donald Trump is doing is he's telling Congress to enforce the law that already exists. In fact, during Bill Clinton's administration, he said we had no choice but to deal with illegal aliens coming to America from all sorts of places of origin. In fact, during the 1995 State of the Union Address, President Bill Clinton laid it out very nicely, the problems that we face when it comes to the abuse of the immigration system. Go ahead, roll that clip. It's Bill Clinton, number 16.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
And for the next little while, he gets a standing ovation. We must do more to stop it. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are a nation of laws first and foremost. And I go back to what I've discussed here in this program for years now. We do not have a broken immigration system. We don't. The people that tell you we have a broken immigration system are wrong. What we have is a failure, a blatant failure and intentional failure in enforcing the existing laws. We have failed to enforce the laws that are already on the books. We had an immigration system that worked at Ellis Island and has worked for decades since, where we evaluate the background of the people coming into our nation. We check where they came from, who their family is, what their health situation is, what their capacity for work is, what their educational level is. Can they contribute to this country, to this great nation of ours? There is nothing wrong with our immigration system. There is something wrong when people in this country refuse to enforce the laws that are already on the books. And that, my friends, needs to change. Back in a moment.